Go with me to Luke chapter 15 this morning. And we're going to look at a familiar account in the scripture. It's a parable that Jesus told. It's the story of the prodigal son. That's the name we give it. It's not necessarily called that. Jesus didn't say, "And now for the story of the prodigal son." Actually, what Jesus said, as we'll read it, says, "There was a father." So as I read through this, and I'm going to read through the entire passage, and then we'll go back and talk about it. But as I read through this morning, I want us to look at it from a little bit different perspective. I want us to look at it from the perspective of the father. All right? And oftentimes, I know I do, when I read this, I look at it from the perspective of the son, of the prodigal son. But let's look at it today from the perspective of a father, and our heavenly father as well, as it's demonstrated here. Verse 11 of Luke 15, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" This is a side thought here. I think it's interesting. When he left, the son said, "Give me." And when he came back, he said, "Make me." Amen. Amen? That's the way we ought to approach our Heavenly Father. Instead of just saying, "Give me," and He wants to give to us, but we should also be saying, "Father, make me. Amen. Make me what you want me to be." Amen? Amen? Verse 20, it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and put his hands on his hips and said, 'I can't believe that sorry rascal is coming back.'" When he was still a great way off, his father saw him. That means he must have been looking for him. Amen. That means he must have gone to the end of the driveway every day, saying, "Today may be the day my son comes back." Amen. "When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." It was a great celebration. He thought his son, he didn't know if his son was, he hadn't heard from him in months. He thought he might have been dead. He didn't know if he was even still alive. And here he comes walking up the road, coming back home. And he's so happy. He's so thrilled. He said, it's like he was dead and he's alive again.
Amen.
He's back. Amen. Amen. The father wasn't thinking about how all the mistakes that the son had made and how he had wasted everything and how he had lost everything that his father had given. He wasn't thinking about any of that. He was thinking, my son is home. My son is home and he's alive.
Amen.
Amen. And so, verse number 25, we'll pick it up there. "Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.'" Verse 28, look at the response of the older brother now. "But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours," wouldn't call him brother, he said, "this son of yours." Isn't that sad? But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Praise God. So let's dig into this morning. And I want to share with you three things that every child needs from their father. Three things that every child needs from their father. And it's unfortunate if there are folks that didn't make it to church today because they thought, well, it's Father's Day and I'm not a father, so today's message doesn't relate to me. We're going to cover it from that standpoint, but what we're also going to cover is how we relate to our Heavenly Father, and that applies to all of us. Amen. Amen. So if you're sitting here and you say, well, I'm not a father, so yeah, this doesn't relate. Yes, it does relate to you, because we're going to talk about three things that every child of God needs from their Heavenly Father. Three things that our Heavenly Father abundantly and freely provides for us. And here are the three things. I'll list them and then we'll talk about each one by one. First of all is this: unconditional love. Three things that every child needs from their father. Number one, unconditional love. Number two, acceptance and approval. Acceptance and approval. And then number three, guidance and correction. And we see all three of these revealed in this story and in this account. And so I want us to take a look at this and dig into this a little bit. Verse 20, the first thing that we see here is this father that Jesus is talking about. This father gave his son unconditional love. He gave him unconditional love. In verse 20 it says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and as I said earlier, his father didn't put his hands on his hips and say, you sorry rascal, you know, yeah, I knew you'd be back after you ran out of money. No, he didn't say that. It says his father had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father didn't say, yeah, you got that right. He didn't even respond to that. He didn't even hear that. He's, oh, whatever. You know, you're back. That's what counts. Amen. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat and be merry. So the point is this: your Heavenly Father loves you unconditionally. Amen. 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 Your Heavenly Father loves you unconditionally. Amen. Notice here in this story, the father didn't take the son back with conditions. He didn't say, well, yeah, that sounds like a good deal. If you'll sign right here, you know, and we'll put you on 6 months probation, sign a contract, you know, and we'll put you on 6 months probation, and we'll make you like one of the hired servants. And if you do really well after 6 months, I might restore you and give you two-thirds sonship back. And then we'll go another 3 years. You'll be on another probationary period for 3 years. And after that period, if you do really, really well, I might restore you to full sonship again. But you've got to pay back all that you lost that I gave you in the meantime. That's the way some Christians relate to their Heavenly Father. That's the way they think they have to earn their way back into His favor. No wonder it's hard for them to receive. No wonder it's hard for their faith to work. Amen? Our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. Amen. Unconditionally. Amen? He didn't think about, you know, the son had just blown tens of thousands of dollars. The father wasn't thinking about that. He said, bring out the best robe and put it. He didn't say, have we got something used around here? I don't want to, I just don't trust you. I just gave you tens of thousands of dollars and I don't trust you, so I'm not going to give you the best robe. You might spill ketchup on it. No, he says, bring out the best robe. Get a ring that's got a big diamond, a big jewel in it, and put that on his finger. Put some nice sandals on. Kill the fatted calf, the best one. Let's have a barbecue. Amen? And so that's our Heavenly Father. That's the love that He gives to us. And as fathers, I want to speak to all you fathers in here this morning. For the Bible said, Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. We can't freely give unconditional love to our children until we first know it from our Heavenly Father. At least not fully. At least not completely. So receive the unconditional love of your Heavenly Father so you can in turn give that unconditional love to your children. Amen?
Amen.
And your children, our children need our unconditional love. How many have found that out?
Amen.
There'll be times like this situation that we just read about that they'll desperately need it. This son desperately needed his father's unconditional love. There'll be times where our children desperately need our unconditional love. Amen? And you know something about this father that models our Heavenly Father? Our Heavenly Father is wise. Do you know timing is so important? Have you found that to be true in life, in relating with people? It's not only what you say, it's when you say it or when you don't say it. Isn't that right? You know, he knew, this father knew what was needed for his son at that time was, and I told you there were three things that every child needs from their father. The first one's unconditional love. One of them is guidance and correction. Did this son need guidance and correction? Every child needs it from their father. But at that moment, that was not the time for guidance and correction. It was the time for unconditional love.
Amen?
Amen. There were, you know, certainly guidance and correction is appropriate. Well, but he didn't say, well, I told you what would happen if you went out and did it that way. You didn't listen. I tried to tell you. Now, guidance and correction is important, but timing is also important. Let's pray that our Heavenly Father give us wisdom to know what our children need at what time. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And so, the second one that we see, the second thing is acceptance and approval. And we see this in this account. We see that the father gave both sons acceptance and approval. He gave acceptance and approval back to his younger son who came home when he said, bring out the best robe. He didn't put him on probation. He didn't say, bring a used robe. He says, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Amen?
Amen.
And children need that. Children need acceptance and approval from their father. And it has to be communicated. It's not just understood. I found that out by mistake. I failed some in this area. I thought, well, don't they know that I believe in them? Don't they know that I love them? Don't they know that I approve of them? Folks, we don't know it until it's said. It's true in a marriage relationship. It's true in relating with our children. It has to be communicated.
Amen?
It has to be spoken and more than one time. Last year, if you were here last year, again, I was gone, but I made sure that these were available for you and they were given out last year on Father's Day, this little book called You Have What It Takes. It's a small book. And if you don't have one of these, we're out right now, but I was hoping they'd be here in time for Father's Day. I've got some on order, and they'll be here next Sunday. If you're a dad and you don't have a copy of this, you didn't get one last year, I'll be glad to give you one. We're getting some more in. I would really recommend you read this. It's a wonderful little book. And last year, I actually, at that time, we were selling our house, and we were packing everything up to move. This was in early June, and we were having a... And so in the packing, I ran across this book that had been given to me, but I had never read. And it had been given to me a couple years before. I'd flipped through it, but I never had sat down and read it all the way through. My mistake. And so we were doing a yard sale as we were getting ready to move, a moving sale and all. So I was up on the driveway and with all the stuff waiting on people to come by and buy things from us and clear that stuff out. And so I thought, well, I'll read this while I'm up here waiting. I'll read this little book. And I started reading it, and I tell you, it just tore me to pieces. It really did. And because I saw some things in here where I had failed as a father, and it just, but it gave me a lot of hope too as I got through it.
Amen.
But The main thing of this, the book is called You Have What It Takes. It says it's what every father needs to know. It's by a man named John Eldridge. And he says that every boy and every girl is asking a question in their life. And I think it's amazing. We sang that song, You're a Good, Good Father. And it talks about people searching for answers. But the answer is from our Heavenly Father. And there's a question, he says, that every boy asks. Every boy asks the question, am I a man and do I have what it takes? And every little girl is asking the question, am I lovely and am I worth fighting for? And he talks about, and I hope I can get through this, but he says, I'm going to make fathering very simple. I'm just going to read a few quotes out of this. I'm going to make fathering very simple. Answer your child's question. Answer, yes, you have what it takes, or yes, you are lovely. Answer it 1,000 times in 1,000 ways over the course of your son's or daughter's life, and you will have done your job. You will have hit a home run. You don't need a PhD in child psychology to be a dad. It isn't rocket science. Understand what a little boy and a little girl need to hear from their dad. Understand each one's question. Then answer it intentionally. Answer it with love, and you will have offered the best a father can give. Oh, and it's not just little boys and girls either. Your son or daughter, no matter how old, will always want and need to hear those words from you. To a son, you have what it takes. You are a man. To a daughter, you are lovely. You are worth fighting for. This will remain true for the rest of each one's life. Amen. Amen. I want to read just a few more quotes. He says, For men, the dog at our heels is failure. We need to know that our lives mattered, that when the time came, we had what was needed. We came through. There was something powerful about our lives. So let me say this as clearly as I can. You, Dad, are the most powerful man in the world, at least in their world. Your children are looking to you to answer the deepest question of their lives. How you handle their hearts will shape them for the rest of their lives. Never forget that no one is as powerful as you are in the lives of your sons and daughters. And then he talks about how important moms are. He says, I'm not underestimating or not saying mom's important, but he's zeroing in on the dads today. Get this now. How many of you know that in our society, in our culture today, there is such a, it's just mind-boggling to me. But it seems that so many people are confused about their identity. So many young people, am I male or am I female or am I transitioning somewhere in between? And we kind of laugh at that. You know, because it seems, in one sense, it seems so ridiculous, but there are people, young people, that are really struggling with that. It's just a demonic attack on our society and our culture now. So here's really where the answer lies. He says identity, especially gender identity, is bestowed by the Father. And that'll tell you why so many are struggling right now, because they've not had what they've needed from a father to instill into them who they are and what they are. Identity, especially gender identity, is bestowed by the Father. A boy learns if he is a man, if he has what it takes, from his dad. A girl learns if she is worth pursuing, if she is lovely, from her dad. That's just the way God set this whole thing up. This power he has given to you.
Amen.
One more quote here. All this is to say, it is your voice, my friend and fellow dad, that is the most powerful voice in the world, in the lives of your children. No one will have the impact on them that you will have. But isn't that what you've always wanted? To be powerful, to have an eternal impact? You do. When it comes to what they need and what you can offer them, you have what it takes.
Amen.
You are the man.
Amen.
Look at Luke chapter 3. Maybe uh, Maybe you never heard these words or got this affirmation from your earthly father. And he talks about in the book there about that and deals with that. And he says, and I agree with him, I think it's true, that can create a wound in your soul. If you never heard those words, if you never got that acceptance and that affirmation, it can create a wound in your soul that makes it difficult, if not impossible, for you then to be able to give that acceptance and approval to your children. You can't give what you don't have. How do we deal with that? Where can we go for that? Well, again, let me remind you, we all have a Heavenly Father. Amen. And you may be here and you may be in middle age and you never heard, you may be a woman here in middle age and you never heard from your earthly father that you're lovely and you're worth fighting for. Well, you don't have to be wounded in your soul for the rest of your life. You have a Heavenly Father. You have a Heavenly Father that if you'll tune into Him and if you'll open your heart to Him, you can hear Him telling you every day you are lovely and you are worth fighting for. Amen. So we can receive this from our Heavenly Father. Look at the scripture here in Luke chapter 3. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. I know you know that scripture. I know you've heard it before. But I want to point out a couple of things here as we've read this. Notice the timing of this. Notice when God the Father said to Jesus, you're my beloved Son, and you I'm well pleased. Notice that it wasn't when he was hanging on the cross. It wasn't after he had performed any miracles. It was at the very beginning of his ministry, before he had performed one miracle, before he had cast out one demon, before he had done anything to prove his worth or earn his acceptance. At the very beginning, his Heavenly Father put his stamp of approval upon him, and he said, you're my beloved Son. In you, I'm well pleased. Amen? Amen. Now, what about you? These words are not just for Jesus. These are not just what our Heavenly Father is speaking to Jesus. The Bible says we that are in Christ are joint heirs with Him. We too are His sons and His daughters. And I want you to hear this morning, I want you to hear your Heavenly Father saying this to you. And so, well, he's not well pleased with me. I messed up last week. I spoke harshly to someone, or I did something selfish, or he can't be pleased with me. Well, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that without faith, it's impossible to please God. The only way we can please Him is by faith, by believing. Do you believe? Do you trust Him? Do you believe His Word?
Amen.
If you believe His Word, if you trust Him, that's what pleases Him. In you, He is well pleased. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, you, if you put that up there, Amy, you are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy. I decided, and I haven't heard from all my kids yet today. I hope that I will. But my daughter sent me a message this morning wishing me Happy Father's Day, and I decided ahead of time I'm going to respond with this. And I typed out a message back to her. I said, thank you, honey. I said, you are my dearly loved daughter, and in you I'm well pleased. Man, it brought me such joy to be able to communicate that to her. So I want you to close your eyes right now, if you would. And I want to, on behalf of our Heavenly Father, I want to speak over you. And I want you, you need to hear today that you are His dearly loved son or daughter and that you bring Him great joy. So we'll start with the ladies today. So ladies, hear these words. I'm speaking on behalf of our Heavenly Father. And I want to say over you ladies, you are my dearly loved daughter. And you bring me great joy. Hear that from your Heavenly Father today. Men, young men, I want you to hear this now from our Heavenly Father. You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Believe that. Believe that. Amen. Praise God. Going back to the story in Luke 15, look at verse 28. We want to look at the elder son for a minute. And maybe some of us have acted like the elder son. The Bible says he was angry. He was angry. You know, a lot of times the source of anger in our lives can be traced to some of these things we're talking about this morning. This older son was angry and would not go in. His brother had come home. They were celebrating. And instead of jumping in the celebration, he was angry about it. He was angry. A lot of times when we see anger in our lives, it's because of something, you know, it's because of something wrong on the inside of us, a wound inside of us that needs to be addressed. Something that needs to be taken care of inside us. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Says he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. See, the father wanted to help him. So he answered and said to his father, look, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. Well, I don't know about that. I've lived a perfect life. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, again, he wouldn't call him brother. He said, as soon as this son of yours came, who, remember, Daddy, he devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him. This doesn't compute, Dad. I don't understand. Here, you give him a party. You've never given me a party like this. And he said to him, took him aside. He said, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. Maybe, the scripture doesn't say it, but maybe, just maybe, this father had failed to communicate effectively enough to his older son. It could have been a failing on the part of the father to communicate those things. And so he took him aside. The New Living, verse 31, it says, his father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me. So he took him aside and he affirmed him. He said, look, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. Maybe he said, you know, I failed to do that. I failed to give you affirmation and acceptance. So here it is. You know, you've always, I do appreciate it. I do appreciate what you've done. I do appreciate that you've stayed by me. And I want you to know, I probably hadn't told you this, but everything I have is yours. You didn't have to wait. You could just ask any time. Everything I have is yours, son. Amen. And then, what are the three things that we need, that every child needs from a father? Unconditional love, acceptance, and affirmation. But then the third is guidance and correction. So then he gives a word of correction and guidance, not to the younger son, but to the older son. He said, look, in verse 32, in the New Living, we had to celebrate this happy day. He said, you need to get your thinking straight here. You need to look at this a different way here. We had to celebrate this happy day. For your brother, you know, he said, look, you need to get back in the, you know, in the collective here. We are celebrating. He's your brother too. We had to celebrate this happy day. For your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. Amen. So let's move into this third one, this third area, guidance and correction. Our Heavenly Father gives us guidance and correction. And He is so intent on giving us guidance that He sent a guide to live on the very inside of us called the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look at this scripture in Luke 11. He said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will who? Your Heavenly Father. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And the number one role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to guide us. Jesus said, when He comes to abide in you, He will guide you into all the truth. Amen? He's our guide. Our Heavenly Father gives us guidance, and He gives us correction. Amen. Fathers, our children are looking to us for guidance and correction. I didn't see the whole commercial. I think it's a new commercial. Have you seen it? I just saw it last night. It's these dads are saying, "I'm losing my son." He's got that phone. He's just constantly. He's on that phone, and I don't have any communication with him. He's always on the phone. And so I don't know. Again, I didn't see the whole thing, so I don't know how it turned out. But they've got the phone sitting up there. You know how you can just ask your phone questions now, and it'll answer you. You know, it's got all wisdom. And so the one boy is asking the phone, how do I shave? And it sounds like the little voice is coming back through the phone, but actually they've got it set up, and the dad is hidden in another room, and he's actually telling the son about how to shave. And he gets real specific because he shares some details that are specific about his son, and it's coming through this through the phone, and the boy says, "Wow, this thing knows me." And another boy asks, he says, "How do I have more confidence, or how can I have confidence?" And so again, the dad's hidden away, and so he's answering the question, but it's coming through, and it doesn't sound like the dad's voice; it sounds like the little computer voice on the phone, you know. So I thought it was cute. I thought, wow, that's great. That's really good. But we need to give guidance. Our children need guidance and correction. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Do not withhold correction from a child." Do not withhold correction from a child. As I said last week, we tell you the truth, nothing but the truth, but rarely the whole truth. I wasn't sure if you could handle the whole truth today, so I didn't put it up there, because the rest of the verse says, "You shall beat him with a rod and he'll not die." So, just okay. So don't turn me into defects for sharing that with you today. All right? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's a balance in that, of course. But look at this scripture. I love this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this will be our last scripture we'll look at this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And you guys get ready to come back up. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11. And this is out of the Message. Paul is talking about when he came to Thessalonica and brought the gospel to them. And a lot of times when he'd go, he wouldn't just have like a three-day meeting. He would stay 3 months, 6 months, sometimes a year and a half. I can't remember how long he stayed in Thessalonica. I think it was quite a period of time that he stayed there, teaching them the Word of God, discipling them, ministering to them. And notice the context that he used here. He says, "You experienced it all firsthand," talking about his ministry among them. He says, "With each of you, we were like a father with his child." We were like a father with his child. He said, "That's the way we minister to you." And he said, "I could not." And the reason he's saying that, he says, there's no purer, there's no stronger, there's no greater way, there's no more effective way that I could identify with to minister to you than a father with his child." And look at what he said he did. Look at the next verse, verse 12. "Holding your hand." This is what our Heavenly Father wants to do for us. This is what every child needs from their father. "Holding your hand. Whispering encouragement. Showing you step by step how to live well before God." See, guidance and correction is not stop that, quit that. You're gonna end up in jail if you keep doing that. Yeah. That's not guidance and correction. This is the guidance and correction that he's talking about. And this is how our Heavenly Father relates to us. Maybe you haven't known him this way, but here's what he wants to do for you. He wants to hold your hand and whisper encouragement. If you'll open your heart to him, every day he'll be whispering encouragement to you.
Amen.
Believe me, trust me. Showing you step by step how to live well before God, who called us into his own kingdom, into this delightful life. Amen. These three ingredients: unconditional love, acceptance and approval, guidance and correction. We need them all. It's like baking a cake. You can't leave out any ingredient. You won't have a cake. You might have something, but you won't have a cake. All these three ingredients in balance and with the wisdom of the proper timing. Amen? And I want us to sing Good, Good Father again and flow into that. All these ingredients are what every child needs. And it's what each of us as children of our Heavenly Father need. And you know, we have to open our hearts to that. These three things are available to us, but He's not going to push them on us. And as an earthly father, some of these things, you can't push them on your kids. Their heart has to be open. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And I love the chapter, as I said in the... what did I do with my little book? Here it is. I sat there reading it that day last year at my yard sale. And like I said, it was just tearing me up. And I thought, wow, you know, I really see where I've not done everything I should have done. I failed in some areas here. But then I was just really, you know, talking to the Lord about that and say, Father, you know, what do I do? And I opened the page, looked down, and the chapter I was on was called It's Never Too Late.
Wow.
It's never too late.
Amen.
Isn't that good news?
Amen.
It's never too late. And that's the truth. Because all this that I've been talking to us about today, it's continuous and it's ongoing. Both from a receiving standpoint from our Heavenly Father and a giving standpoint, Brother Al, to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. It's not... I'm sure you did a good job in a lot of these areas, but... You know, you gotta. When I grow up, I want to be like this man.
Amen.
And he's planned on being around a long time. He just drove up to Wisconsin and Illinois, up to Wisconsin and Illinois, and put 5,000 miles on his car.
Wow.
He drove up to Wisconsin and he was there for his grandkids were having graduations and birthdays and different things, and they were all scattered out all over the state of Illinois and Wisconsin, and he drove back and forth to all those events up there, and then drove 23 hours home straight. Like I say, when I grow up, I'm going to be like this guy. But it's not, amen. Give him a hand. But it's not too late. It's not too late. It's continue. Your children never outgrow the need for these three things. If you're 80 and they're 55,
yeah,
you know, they still need it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And the way that the way we communicate changes in the you know, to some degree, but the need is always there. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to read you just in closing. I want to read you a little bit more out of here. Thank you, Lord. I want you to go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing a little bit more of this song. And bring. I don't know if you need to bring yourself up or if they need to bring you up back there or not, but let's bring up the keyboard just a little bit. I know that I've blown it with my sons more times than I want to admit. I know that I've hurt them and will hurt them again before this whole thing is over. I am a man under construction, undergoing renovation, and sometimes the uglier parts of me slip out. Jesus is not finished with me yet. I will never be the perfect dad, but here's what I'm counting on. Love covers over a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8. I really want to do a great job as a dad, but I know I will not do it perfectly. Sometimes I'm just too tired to offer what they need. Other times I'm just plain selfish. So this verse is what I'm banking on more than anything else as a father. In the end, the most important issue is love. It always has been, always will be. More than anything else, your son and daughter long to know that you love them, truly love them, that you delight in them. It's really the core desire of any human heart. And he talks about Jesus, the Heavenly Father, saying, "And you're my beloved son, and you am well pleased," as we've shared this morning. He says, this is the most basic of all our missions, the fundamental assignment of our lives, to make sure our children know that we love them. To say to each son, I'm so proud of you. You have what it takes. To let each daughter know how I delight in you. You are lovely. If we get that said and said 1,000 different ways over the course of their childhoods, we'll have done a pretty good job of being dads. Every dad can offer this, but only you can offer this as a father to your children. You are the man, and you have what it takes. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray for you. I'm going to pray for every father in here right now. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray for every father, every man in here, every father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for myself in this as well, Father. And Lord, I pray that you give each one of us the grace, Lord, the freedom in our hearts. That's what we need right there, Father. I pray for that. Lord, I pray for freedom in the heart of every man today. Freedom from the bondages and the wounds that Satan has brought into our lives through the years. I pray freedom today in the name of Jesus. That we would be free to love our children. That we would be free to confidently affirm and bring acceptance to them. That we'd be free to give guidance and correction in the name of Jesus. Bring your healing, Lord, to every heart. Bring your healing. And Father, I want to include my sisters in Christ in this prayer right now. Each of us as men, women, we stand before you, our Heavenly Father, and we admit that we desperately need from you your unconditional love. We receive it today. We desperately need from you, our Heavenly Father, your acceptance and approval. And we hear you saying today, Father, you are my beloved Son. You are my dearly loved son, my dearly loved daughter. I take great joy in you. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit guiding us. We submit to your correction, Lord. We don't run from it, but we submit to it. Lord, your correction is never, here's how you failed and you're no good. Your correction is, okay, you messed up here, but that's all right. We're going to pick you back up, and here's how to do it the next time differently. Thank you for that. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for your mercy. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for us to sing this entire song. I think we should do that. Just think about your Heavenly Father now. Just worship Him as we conclude this service this way.